Podcasting 2.0 for February 27th, 2026, episode 251, Pod Snuggle. Hello, everybody. We are back. It's good to be back. It's time once again for Podcasting 2.0. That's right. Everything going on with podcasting and everything that is podcasting adjacent. This is the board meeting. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that brought home the gold for our country. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who could clone your git faster than you can say levitating flapjacks. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, the pod sage, Mr. Dave Jones.
Hey, don't go being critical of the Denny's Menu podcast. That's top-notch material.
Every single Friday, I'm like, I gotta have all these opening things. Gotta have what about the boardroom, and then what is Dave doing? And I see that you're cloning gits and you're talking about levitating flapjacks. So there's my perfect opening. It's like, what more do I need, man? It's perfect.
The AI slop is just out of control. Out of control.
Well, I gotta tell you, I've been very happy. With my AI slop production machine.
Well, that's not slop.
Well, then we have to define slop now, don't we?
Those are tools.
What is slop exactly? This actually needs to be defined. What is slop? If you like something and it's usable, is it slop? Yeah, there's a question, huh? There's a question. Yeah. Well, here, I'll give you an example.
It's like, okay, slop is the same as, defining slop is like defining what a weed is. A weed is just a plant that's in a place you don't want it.
Yeah, I guess that's true, because to some people it's just a weed, to others it's a smokable treat.
I don't mean weed. I mean the generic.
Oh, weed. I'm sorry.
A weed, not the weed. Yes. Yes. It's not the magic plant.
No. I don't want to do too much about vibe coding, because you know we have a lot of real podcasting discuss. Sure. But yeah. This actually, as I was making this for our live station customers, this tool, and I've learned a lot about guardrails in LLMs. Man, it's no wonder Anthropic doesn't want the War Department to use any of their models for autonomous weapons. Mm-hmm. And it's not some morality thing. Since when has Silicon Valley had some morality issue?
Oh,
really?
Of course not.
No, yeah, it's because these things hallucinate all the time, mm-hmm. all the time, and you have to put so many guardrails around it so that it at least catches itself. I'm sure these guys are like, hey, our stuff's not good enough for autonomous weapons. You do not want to be using it. It can go crazy at the drop of a hat. And you know what the worst model is? Grok. The XAI models, they lie, they cheat, they show you stuff that isn't true.
Well, that's just like, I mean, that's...
It's like
that's,
Twitter.
It
it's
just
like,
follows the owner.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what
exactly,
the owner does.
Exactly. So I have this tool, and as I built this tool, I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great to have a podcast app that mm-hmm. gives you a little promo of the podcast that you follow. Mm-hmm. And not that I built it for that. I built this to simply have a prompt that says, make a promo for the Podcasting 2.0 podcast. Let me see what the exact prompt was.
Can you demonstrate this in real time?
Yeah, well, so I'll play one that I made, and then we can do a random one. So make a promo for the Podcasting 2.0 podcast with an approximately 30-second clip with the puff sound effects between all elements. Use the chic funk music bed. Make the text relevant to the clip. In the intro, say this week in the Podcasting 2.0 boardroom, followed by the context you found. Remember to end by telling people the Podcasting 2.0 podcast is on Hello Fred live every Friday with a new episode in the Godcaster app, and use Todd's voice. So that's the prompt. And you can actually save this as a template. And so this was the first try, and this is what it gave me.
Okay.
Wait, what? Okay.
I was pretty impressed by that.
From poop apps to the future of podcasting.
I mean, that was impressive. You got to admit, was that impressive or what?
That was very impressive. You showed me this the other day on a different show that you're working on, and it was I was pretty blown away by what it pulled out of there. And I mean, couldn't that go directly into the soundbite tag?
You could do it as a creator, but why wouldn't, I mean, so I'll just give you the sequence of this. So I'm using Gemini 2.5 fast, I think, just for the prompting stuff. Mm-hmm. So it uses the index API, finds the podcast. If it's confused, if there's a lot, it will ask me, but it usually finds the one it needs. Then it downloads the episode. On device, it uses Whisper to get the first 20 minutes of audio. Then it sends that back into Gemini 2.5 Pro, because you know now you're sending a lot of stuff in. It's got to, you want it to kind of come up with some good context. It brings that back. It has an entire time-coded transcript. It then fires up FFmpeg to bring in all the elements, does the noise ducting, all of that. And then if you don't like it, you can say, well, show me the transcript. You say, okay, I want you to add this and cut it off after this word, and it remixes it and it does it. And this is amazing. I was just thinking,
how much does it cost for each one of these?
It's very cheap. It's very cheap. I mean, I've been using this for days very intensely, and I'd say maybe $2 that I've spent. On tokens, wow. It's almost nothing. Now, 11 Labs, I'm afraid to look over there.
Don't look at that bill.
Don't look at 11 Labs. I mean, I have like a $1.99 subscription because I'm doing a lot of stuff with this. But you can also adjust the voice, make it faster, more exciting, slow it down, et cetera. Let's just try something in real time. My point that I'm bringing up here is not just because, holy crap, look what I made. but I see an opportunity for, maybe it's for a premium app, but it would be pretty cool to just fire up my podcast app and it gives me like there's a file sitting right there, play this. And it says, hey, here's what's happening on this week in Bitcoin. Here's what's going on with the pod news. You know, want me to make a playlist? I mean, there's a million things that could be done. It just felt like, hey, that's something that you could do as a premium podcast listening device.
Right. Yeah. No, I think the remixing, being able to remix the content is sort of like what we were talking about a few weeks ago. It's in the ballpark. I was bringing up the idea that you could bring in extra sort of like amendments into the podcast that you're listening to, like chapters where there wasn't any. But then you could also remix stuff into like you could just tell the podcast app to do a bunch of stuff to this particular episode you're listening to. I mean, why not?
So how about this? Make a promo for the Pod News Weekly Review podcast, 30-second clip, puff, and use the chic funk music. But say this week on the Pod News Weekly Review, followed by the context you found, remember to end by telling people the Pod News Weekly podcast Weekly Review podcast, I should say. Isn't it Weekly Review?
Yes.
I'm just going to make it on HelloFresh. Review. Okay.
Get your weekly dose of power.
Hold on. Let me, by telling people to get their weekly dose of power on the, okay. All right. And I'm going to ask you to use a female voice. All right. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, just to change it up. Okay. Yep. So there it goes. It's thinking. So
we have, you were,
is it, it says it can't find Pod News Weekly Review. Isn't that what it's called?
Right? Yeah.
Is Pod News one word?
Unless I'm crazy. Pod News Weekly Review.
Is it two words, Pod News?
Pod News Weekly Review. That's what it's called.
Pod News Weekly Review.
Review.
Let's see. See if it finds it.
Yeah, let's see.
It's
podcast index ID 133.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's no good. Hold on a sec. Let me try this again. Hold on one sec. Okay. Let me put this in. I'm just refreshing the page. Who knows this is the problem, of course.
It's the winner of the Best Podcasting Podcast 2025 Earworthy Award.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let me try it again.
I didn't even know that.
If this fails, we'll move on.
Demo fail. Yeah, this is the USB printers of Windows 98 is what it is.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I think this is going to fail. But it's fine.
That's lame. Where does that fail at? Curious.
Oh, actually, funny enough, what it's failing at now is it can't find the music bed or the sound effects.
Oh, do you have internet? everything's gone wonky.
I knew I shouldn't have done this.
Uh-huh. I baited you into a live demo. That's my fault.
Oh, man, this sucks.
Hold on.
Find puff sound effects. Yeah. Okay, because it can find this stuff. I mean,
when you showed me the other day, it was smooth as butter. I mean, there was nothing. It just went right through. Yeah. No problems.
Yeah. Well, I've been working on it. Let me just say, you suck. All right, you suck. You suck. I understand you're frustrated. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It did this perfectly, and then also, of course, this demo failed. Anyway, we'll move on. I'll do a better demo next time. Feel bad about this though.
We didn't have a show last week because you were at NRB.
Yes.
Other than hanging out with Daniel J. Lewis, what would you say you took away from that? Generally speaking, I mean, I know. I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question. How would you say that the radio industry is holding up in 2026, according to what you witnessed at NRB? And the reason I'm asking it in that way is because we got this big story from James, I think, this morning.
Yes, and, yes.
Listening being bigger than radio.
Yes. Well, first of all, NRB stands for National Religious Broadcasters Conference, I guess. And so the business model of most faith-based radio stations is pretty much value for value, with a caveat. Right. With a caveat. Hold on, it just did it. All right. Huh. Yes, I don't know. Brain fry. Okay, it's generating. With the caveat that a lot of these ministries who have programs focus on the family, you know, living on the edge. I mean, there's tons of them. Even ministries that have dead pastors who, you know, they're just using archives. They buy airtime on many of these stations. Some of it's $100 a day. You know, it can be very different. So that's kind of been the business model. And you know, for the past 20 years, pretty much, that model has been slowly eroding for a number of reasons. One is like, you know, it was always kind of, well, you know, people donated to your ministry through your website. You know, you asked them on the phone, or they filled out a form. So we kind of know it came from us. So we're still relevant as your radio station. But now that for, you know, 10, 20 years, these ministry programs have been at the end of every program say, listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. That has, of course, completely eroded the whole reason for radio. And the station just let that go, which is, you know, I don't think they really knew what to do. And this is part of the problem we saw to help solve that, to bring them into the digital realm. So I did a talk, and Daniel J. Lewis was there. Dave Jackson was there. It's always nice to have the shills in the front, you know, nodding their head and laughing at every joke. Thank you, brothers. I love you so much. I love you so much. Sometimes these can be tough rooms. But I said it right up there. I mean, you know, the elephant in the room here in this entire convention is you're riding your listeners into heaven. And we all know it, but we all pretend it's not happening.
And what do you mean specifically by that? I know, but other people may not.
The average age of a listener to a faith-based radio station is, I think, 80 years old.
The average?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Even cable news is 67, yeah. You know, it's like, it's an older demographic and people aren't listening to radio. They listen to streams. They're not listening to programs. They listen to podcasts. And I said, but what an opportunity, you know, your listeners have phones, you know, they have a smartphone, they can hit an app and they need to be passing this on to their kids and their grandkids and showing them what they can get. And a lot of these stations get it. But the most beautiful moment, I would say, is we had a customer. This guy has 9 transmitters that he's bought up over the years in the Massachusetts area. He said, I'm in pagan heartland, man. Okay, gotcha. And he had just purchased a 10th frequency. And so we're just having a catch up. You know, I mean, he says, before we start with this, I want to ask you a question. Adam, you specifically, you know this stuff. Do you think that the people are going to move from listening to the radio to digital and podcasts? And he was the only person that asked it. So There's this huge, I don't know if it's just denial. I think a lot of people are like, I'm just going to ride this out. You see a lot of these station owners, they're in their late 70s. They've got a younger, quote unquote, younger station manager, maybe 50s, maybe late 40s, a couple. So it's like a mental block that they have, a total mental block for this transition. And that's what that article was. I have it here. Podcasts lead AM, FM, and spoken word listening, marking a first. And that's from Edison Research. 25% of all daily time spent here. Spoken word audio platforms played an important part in how 13+ spend their day with audio, accounting for 25% of all daily time spent with audio. And so we're at this convergence point where podcasts have gone to 40% of a share of ear, and radio, AM and FM, is now 39%. So here we are. Oh, by the way, the promo's been created. Let's see what it did. Ah! All right, so.
Oh, that's boring.
So I could ask to remix it. I could, you know, have a different spot, but it still did that.
That's amazing. It's just that Sam and James are boring. So that's it. That's not the AI's fault.
So this is an incredibly big moment. This is a great piece of research. Edison is respected. And I hope this sends people scurrying. It should. I mean, there's still this, certainly for faith-based radio, there's a huge opportunity. Pass it on down, people. Let's move. But in general, yeah. I mean, I think it's the end is obvious. If you don't transition and make yourself and rebrand as a stream and you're digital and you got podcasts and, you know, and you're doing local content. That's the only reason for radio stations. You know, that was the whole point. It's my local station. I hear what's going on locally. You know, this is the whole idea behind Hello Fred, Hello Franklin. You know, it's like the local stuff. And they can do it now with local podcasts, hyper-local podcasting. Otherwise, you're just a bad podcast destination.
I think that there has been a lot of rumblings, just nothing concrete. But talk just occasionally that I pick up in different articles and that kind of thing about the future and radio FM, AM, FM being removed from the car altogether. I mean, a lot of EVs have already done that.
Well, they have to, because AM is unlistenable in an EV.
Because of the interference.
You just get static interference. Sure.
Yeah. And so
if I can just for 1 second, the NRB spends an inordinate amount of time, energy, focus, and money on lobbying Congress to save AM radio. You know, get a clue.
Yeah.
These reasons, you know, like, well, in an emergency, hey, I've had several emergencies. I did not go to my AM radio. FM radio worked just fine. But you know what? All I heard was, this is Fresh Air with Terry Gross. They didn't even have anyone at the station.
Yeah. The radio only exists in the car. I mean, that's the only place it even exists anymore. And if it slowly erodes out of the car, it doesn't matter if you have a transmitter or not. You're transmitting to nobody.
And exactly.
You have to, it's not really even, to me, it's not even so much a demographic shift anymore as it's just eventually more and more car manufacturers are just going to not see it as necessary, and it'll just slowly erode from everybody's life even more so than it already is. The thing that I was hit by is that the digital things shifting from radio to digital, meaning podcasting and that and streaming and that kind of thing, that the if what we heard from different people is that they really want all of their content, meaning the station content, to be in an app.
Yeah.
In the station's own app.
Yes.
That sort of siloing, it does not work well. You have to be available everywhere. That's what makes that phrase "everywhere you get your podcast" so powerful, is because collectively you can see podcasting as one giant radio receiver. It doesn't matter what app you're in. You can listen to Pod News Weekly Review in 47 different apps.
And this is exactly what I was almost preaching about a couple of years back with the Rachel Maddow app. You know, if you have a choice of app, then get something that fits your personality, your profile, or adapts to your personality, your profile. And we basically ate our own dog food with the Godcaster app. That's exactly what we did.
Yeah. I remember, do you remember back in the early days? I guess maybe this was late 90s, I guess, early 2000s. Digital media streaming was really brand new. And I remember all these different radio shows had their own app. So, like, no, it wasn't even an app. It was like you would go to their website or you would download, like, their desktop program. But you had, like, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, just naming these ones that I heard on the radio. They would announce it on the radio, then you could, like, go and get it on their website. And they had these... Everything was, what I'm trying to say is, like, everything was siloed
mm-hmm.
into a particular piece of software for that content. And like you're talking about with the Rachel Maddow app, the problem is you've got this content you want to listen to, but you also have a particular style of app that fits you best.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to find the convergence of that is impossible if you silo only, you silo your content into only this one app.
Yep.
And that's the only thing that can carry it. Also, what you're doing, if you're a radio station and you carry a popular program, that program is going to be available in lots of different places.
Well, this is my point. Radio stations need to get back to their roots of bringing local programming.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening, and with, you know, with podcasting, you can have everybody spin up a podcast feed. But we've gotten into this very strange mindset collectively that a podcast means, first of all, I got to be sitting at a desk with headphones on. It's got to be video. It's got to be on YouTube. I got to be like Joe Rogan. I got to get lots of likes and views. No. So whenever I talk about hyper-local podcasting, I get hundreds of emails of people saying, I never thought of it that way. I could actually do something about my school board. But that would be great. Yes. And there's no money in it for you. And you're going to do it as a side gig just because you're doing it for your community. Maybe there's, you know, maybe some local advertising that may be possible, but that's not the reason to be doing it. And when you give people that framing, then their eyes go wide open. And that is what radio stations need to do, because now they're just literally transmitters rebroadcasting national programming. Maybe they have local news or local weather or local traffic, which is also very valid. But yeah, you got to have more.
Yeah, I agree. The problem is Christian radio and just religious radio in general is catching up to something that's way, way already down the road.
I don't think it's exclusive to them. This is universal.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Just radio in general. TV, radio, and broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, I asked it to remix the promo.
Okay.
With our comments, which was use a different context to make the voice more excited. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Well, fail on the excitement part.
This narrator is terrible.
Well, I chose a female voice. This bit. Took the instructions the wrong way.
That's better, but we got work to do.
Hey, let's just talk about this Apple Video thing for a second, because I've gone back and forth, and on one hand I'm like, so I'll give you the conclusion here, which is it a curse or it is a blessing? Because on one hand, the Apple is going to present video in their podcast app. On the other hand, they've completely broken, removed everything about RSS, which very few people seem to be complaining about. I'm in the super secret WhatsApp chat group. I'm like, this is interesting. No one is saying, what are they doing? How come they didn't follow any spec, no alternate enclosure, none of this stuff? And now they want to get into the ad business? What is going on? So that's kind of one way that I look at it. And then I look at another way and go, maybe this is the most genius thing they could have done, because this video thing is really something different from podcasting, in my personal opinion. And so when they remove it from the connection to the feed and the entire infrastructure that's been built up around it, maybe they're doing this to keep podcasting as it is pure. What are your thoughts? Let's dive in.
You want to do a deep dive?
Let's do a deep dive.
I'll just put my card on the table first.
You only have one. You should have five. You should have five cards.
Right. I only have one at the moment.
Oh, it's ace of spades up his sleeve, ladies and gentlemen.
I think that Apple will absolutely 100% support the alternate enclosure tag.
Hmm.
It's at some point in the future. I don't know, you know, can't say if it'll be very quick. Could it be just silently? It may just silently exist alongside this thing that they're doing. I don't know, but this is not just hoping and wishing. I'm hesitant to say that I know this for a fact, but I have a strong belief that this is what they're going to do. And that's actually based on information and not just hoping and wishing. Hmm. I know that I just feel that.
Wait
that
a
is
minute.
Going to
Are
happen.
You not under NDA? Everyone else is.
No, absolutely not. They're just going to do it. I just know that they are. And what form that takes is anybody's guess. But I think that at some, what, let me try to be even more clear than I'm being not clear enough. Maybe what I'm saying is either with the next release or at some point later on, they will open up the Apple Podcasts app to just pass the alternate enclosure with an HLS stream through to everyone and not have to do this big partner thing.
What? Okay. So this is the other part that kind of bugs me. And I know it's beta, or some would say beta. And it's, you know, it's new territory. I'm not quite sure why they needed to be in the ad portion of it. I don't exactly understand why. And maybe I'm just missing that. I completely understand seeing the news about Spotify's top charts for video, including porn, that maybe we have to now hire more people to scan this stuff. What are people actually putting up there? I can see that being something Apple would be very careful about. Mm-hmm. But the fact that app builders don't really know what they're doing. I mean, yeah, you can focus on your four launch partners, hosting partners, but the whole point of RSS is it's open and everybody can play. And so, you know, it feels like, you can't participate, you stupid apps. It just feels icky to me. I don't like that. And no one complains about this. You know, it's, well, I'm a hosting partner. I signed my NDA, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but how about the app guys? You're just cutting them out like this is the best thing since sliced bread and Apple is so awesome? No. So,
well, it makes no, we'll have to see how it plays out. But from a hosting company standpoint, it really doesn't make any sense to go to all the trouble to encode all of this video into HLS. And then not also just stick it into the RSS feed.
I'm with you. You already have it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see what they actually do. But if iHeart app and all the and these other apps are saying, well, we are going to support HLS through the alternate enclosure tag, mm-hmm. then you already have an incentive to go ahead and put it in there. I feel, you know, Apple's methodology here to me feels very consistent. This is what their MO has been over the last few years.
Yeah, deliver a super experience for their user.
For their user, but also, how do I describe this? They're trying to have a perfect experience for their user first, but also support the open thing.
Right. Like what they did with transcripts.
Yeah. They're like, we're going to ingest the alternate. We're going to ingest the transcript, but we're also going to auto create the transcript. They're doing this sort of like hybrid strategy where they're hyper-focused on making their thing work perfectly, but they're also going to support this other they're going to acknowledge the open way of doing it and make sure that that doesn't fail, that they're still playing by the, by what they see the open source community doing.
Mm.
And I think that that is, I think that is what is going to happen here. What's ha- I think that they're, the video, the HLS thing is such a, and I've got a little bit more thoughts about this because we want to talk about Podping, right?
So, we want to talk about a lot of things, but clearly Ted Hausman and you had a conversation you can't tell us about. I appreciate it.
No, that's not, absolutely not. I've had zero, no, I've had zero conversation with Ted about any of this stuff.
I'm
no.
just messing with you and with Ted, yes. obviously.
So I feel like this is now their MO, so we can see the we can see what the pattern is, and that, and that sets an expectation for the way this is going to play out.
So that's really good then. The only part I'm still confused about is why do they want to play in the ad part? I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't.
It doesn't matter to me, but it just seems strange.
It that was the strangest part to me too. And the only thing I can come up with is that they know that they have a huge audience and they're giving access to that audience and they want to monetize it.
Okay.
I mean, Apple Podcasts is a large audience that could be addressed. You could address a humongous audience of millions of people within, boom, just like that, by flipping this switch on. And to me, it seems like they consider that to be very valuable and they want to. They're just
kind of a first, though, kind of a first, because they've always had a huge, valuable audience. But this is a first that they're doing that with, and they're doing it with video. Does that mean audio's to come? I mean, to me, there's that's just being kind of glossed over. Like, okay.
Maybe a second, not a first, because, I mean, they really, they already did it with subscriptions. So they are in the charging for content through the Apple game.
Yeah, but there's actual infrastructure there. You know, payments, they're doing that. They're doing the storage, all, you know, special whoopie-doopie stuff. But okay, I feel better. And first of all, I wasn't even feeling bad about it at all. I'm still rather dubious as to what the success will be, because I remember the launch of podcasting in Apple, and this were the days when it was the Rock and Roll Geek Show with Michael Butler, it was Don and Drew's show, it was Cali Lewis, it was Daily Source Code, it was the Gilmore Gang, and then they launch, and right there on the front page of iTunes that you used to sync up your iPod was NPR, PBS, BBC. You know, they, even though everything was findable, they really went mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I predict they will probably do that again. And it will be your typical shows that get all of the front-facing airtime promotion. And right. from their perspective, rightly so. You know, watch the BBC in Apple Podcasts. I can understand that, but you know, we'll see.
I think the larger, you know, the larger goal from our perspective is that the alternate enclosure would be backed up with live support.
Yes. Oh, the live support. This is what I don't understand. Apple should be so supporting live, specifically for these radio stations. They could endear every single radio station overnight. Mm. Overnight. And everything's written. It works. It's proven. It's all there. It's good to go. Now, I know they got a team and they have to make priorities, but wow, what a huge market opportunity for them.
Just here's a visionary sort of scenario, like just thinking into the future.
Thinking into the future with Dave Jones. He's going into the future.
You can imagine that a scenario where Apple Podcasts, and I think I've described this somewhere before. You can imagine a scenario where Apple Podcasts will alert you when the Apple keynote goes live.
Exactly.
You tap on the thing, boom, you're watching the latest Apple event keynote.
Yes.
And In order to do this, though, you need you need multiple parts.
You need Podping.
You need HLS video, which they now have.
Yeah.
Or they will shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And you need live notifications. Podping. Yes. So you need a couple of things. Now, you need a couple of things. The HLS is the heavy lift. The Podping notification is the easier part. But this whole thing prompted me to take some action on a thing that Alex and I had been, a concept that we had been bouncing around for a while when it comes to Podping. So Podping, what I did this week, and I need to find the post.
Well, you find the post.
What I did this week with Dave Jones. Let's dive in.
Dive.
Is that Todd or is
it? No, that's me.
Shh, Dave with his deep thoughts on Podping.
Where's the post? Oh, here it is. Okay, I got it. All right, so copy link. There we go. And so this will tell you how to join the party. I cloned the podping.cloud repo. So let's do a refresher here real quick. If we may. Podping.cloud is how the world pretty much interacts with Podping. Podping being the notification system.
Is that a single, let's just get it all down. Is that a single server living somewhere?
It's five servers.
Okay.
All load balanced.
Who's running those?
Me.
Yeah.
It's good.
it's good. Yeah, they've been running for years now with virtually zero downtime. I think we may have had a few minutes of downtime once.
Yeah.
But there are five geographically separated servers that are running the podping.cloud software. And all this does is it allows you to send a notification that a RSS feed has changed in some way. Also, you can send a reason code with it, like update or live ended. So there's a few notification options. What podping.cloud does is it accepts the URL, the feed URL and the reason code, and then posts that notification to the Hive blockchain. So that's the way this has always worked. The backing of this thing is the Hive blockchain. And that's where these things ultimately end up. So that if you're quote unquote watching or listening to Podping, watching for these updates to come through, what you're watching is the Hive blockchain blocks being created in real time, and you're just picking up the feed URLs out of this
with the idea that you can always walk back up the chain and find something in all perpetuity.
Correct. And that, yes, exactly. That was one of the technical goals of the project, is that you would not have to have a server watching in real time all the time, like you do with WebSub or RSS.cloud. You wouldn't have to have a server running all the time that was watching. You could just periodically pull this thing, with a script on your desktop, whatever, and get all the notifications back to the beginning of time if you wanted to. So you could play catch up anytime you needed to, that kind of thing. You're not going to miss it. So I think that what is important to do sometimes is step back and look at whether the technical goals align with the aims of what you're trying to achieve. And what we're trying to achieve with Podping are a few things. We've mentioned a couple of them already. not have to run a server, not have to pull RSS feed URLs 1,000 times a day just to see if they may have changed once. Mm-hmm. There's lots of goals here. One, but there's a couple of them that really haven't been expressed, but they are important. And one of those is it just has to work rock solid 100% of the time.
Rock solid.
Without fail.
I'm like one of those hip hop guys who stands in the back. Callback guy.
The backup guy.
Callback guy. You say rock solid. That rock solid.
It's like the hip hop version of Ed McMahon. And so if it's not, and there's a reason for this. We want the entire world of podcasting, the big players, the big platforms, to use Podbean because it enables the live feature as well as rapid polling and future things that we develop. It is I consider it to be a critical piece of infrastructure for podcasting's future. So we want the big platforms to use this thing, but they will not use it unless it is solid and dependable.
And even then, it's questionable.
And you can't blame them. No. If it's going up and down all the time, which it doesn't, but if it did, I mean, they can't depend on that.
Well, and also, let's be fair. You're using Cloudflare. You're using AWS. It's like, shit happens. Bottom line.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in that respect, it's no different than any system. So it's gonna, you know, setting those things that are beyond control aside, those sort of like acts of God.
But there's the beauty about a blockchain is that in theory, no one can mess with it. No one owns it. No one can rip it away. No one can monetize it differently. You know, there's benefits to it. To an open public blockchain that has enough nodes to run it.
Well, I don't think, this is where we're going here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's inherent to what a blockchain is, though.
Okay.
Because blockchains can go away.
Yeah, they can be forked off.
There's a lot of things that can happen to them. You know, the more distributed a system, if you have a distributed system that produces a blockchain, it's more resilient to that, but it's still possible that a blockchain can fail because blockchains are just data that exists in a server somewhere.
Mm.
And so what the idea that Alex about, and I've been kicking around for a couple of years now, is having a second layer. So, Hive continues to function just like it always has, and Hive can do its, you know, can be itself and do its own thing. But then we have a second layer for redundancy. And the second layer is some sort of distributed peer-to-peer gossiping system. And this would ideally be bootstrapped over a DHT.
Nothing like a little distributed hash space. What is it? Hash
table.
Oh, yes.
Distributed hash table.
Yeah.
And so
hash.
The most popular DHT space, if you want to say it that way, out there forever has been the same one that the BitTorrent
mm-hmm.
system uses.
Sure.
The mainline DHT. And so this distributed hash table could take care of bootstrapping the nodes to get them to communicate with one another. So we found this library a while back called Eero, IROH.
Yes, I remember this.
Yeah. And so we played around with it a little bit, and then then it dropped. But with the recent
upgrades.
And it's that library has moved along, and it's a lot more solid now, and it has a new thing called it's called Eero Docs, and so it's a distributed document store where the documents are stored cryptographically with a key in the hash table.
Does just a quick question. Does IPFS also run over this, or is it their own hash space?
Oh, that's a question I don't know the answer to.
Okay. Ignore.
I don't know if IPFS runs on the mainline DHT. I would imagine it does, but I may be wrong. So I got in and just started trying to hash this thing out over the past week, and pretty quickly got something running, because the beautiful thing about podping.cloud is that it's a very simplistic architecture, but it's simple but rock solid. Mm-hmm. You have a web server front end that accepts the submissions from hosting companies and podcasters about whether, you know, updating their feed, sending mm-hmm. a notification. Mm-hmm. That web server front end takes that incoming URL and reason code and medium code, puts it into a queue in a database, a SQLite database, and then it pushes those updates over a ZMQ socket, which on the back end of the socket connects to one or more what we call writers. So to date, the only writer that we've ever had has been the Hive writer. So it takes those incoming messages over the ZMQ socket and writes them to the Hive blockchain through one of a dozen or less today Hive API servers. That's the way the system's always worked. But the fact that it's using ZMQ and it's using a binary schema protocol called Cap'n Proto, and that is more robust than something just like a JSON message, because it has a strict schema and it enforces adherence to that schema. So because of that, you can just take this schema, plug in a different writer to the ZMQ socket on the backside, and suddenly now you're writing to two places or three places or four or whatever, however many you want to do. So this is just really a good plug and play type architecture. So what I did was I just took the Hive writer message structure, or excuse me, the Cap'n Proto schema message structure, and just built a new writer that would write to the Eero document space.
How do you spell Eero?
Iroh.
Yeah. Another question. So what mm-hmm. is the update time across the Eero hash space? I mean, is it because Podping is pretty quick?
Within a second.
Really?
I would encourage everybody to go to that post that I made and download. You don't have to run the whole repo. So what I did was I forked podping.cloud into a new repo, renamed it to podping.alpha for this testing phase that we're doing. And you can download that repo. And all you have to do is really just build the listener. So there's a folder in there called gossip-listener. So if you go into that folder and do a cargo build, that's the way you build a Rust binary.
Yes, because it's a Rust crate. So you want to build a cargo from a crate. I get it.
That's right. So if you just build the gossip listener and run it, just do cargo run inside that folder and it'll build everything. And then what you will end up with, it should just launch. And within a few seconds, you'll just start getting Podping.
Question. Is this lightweight enough to bake into an app device side?
It is, except that you have the constant problem on mobile of getting evicted out of memory. So you'd have to every time you come back, you know, if you're in the background, you can't bootstrap this every single time in the background.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Mobile apps just have so many restrictions about memory usage.
Yeah. As great as the mobile revolution has been, it sucks so bad.
It does. It does.
There's a lot that just sucks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. These devices are just so locked down and so prohibited from doing anything in the background.
But yet Bixby wants to help me all the time.
I think so what you have to end up doing is what Franco did, which is you run a $5 a month Linode.
Yeah, you gotta run a server.
And the whole podping.cloud system on 5 servers, it only costs like
$20.
$30 a month.
Yeah.
To run it. And it's been running for years with no downtime.
So this removes the Hive blockchain part?
It does not remove Hive. Okay. No. This is just a testing phase to get things going on the gossip channel and run it for a while, work out the bugs, and then bake the writer, this new gossip writer, into the podping.cloud architecture. But you can't rip, there's no reason to rip out Hive. I mean, this Hive can continue to work the same way it always does. This is for now at least just an additional distribution mechanism. The problem that we've run into with Hive.
Load balancing.
Well, I don't really. The list of Hive node API nodes seems to have changed recently to the extent that that people have been having trouble. They've had to go in and sort of manually edit their list of Hive nodes. And I think that was behind some of the latency that was going on with like getting live notifications and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, cause Eric PP and, which was it? Mitch camera, Eric PP and a couple other people were talking about that last week. They were saying that they finally figured out the problem was that the Hive node list was out of date because these API servers. Anyway, so I started vetting the servers and I'm producing a list now of validated Hive servers that are up and running. Anyway, not really that important, but this is a way to do it. You know, from the beginning, I've always been concerned about putting all eggs in one basket.
Of course.
Always, that has always been a concern of me. My question to Brian multiple, you know, many times has always been, what if Hive goes away? And so this is how we solve for the question of what if Hive goes away? I mean, ideally it would never go away and it'll just continue to run like it always has. But I can't just base all that on hope. You know, I need a plan B. And the plan B is gossip. And so Eero gives you all the stuff that you need to do this the correct way. It gives you hole punching, NAT traversal, DHT bootstrapping.
Yeah, a lot of benefits there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into, I mean, this stuff, that's not easy to stuff to do. So this library kind of pulls it all into one package, and it's been running for a few days now, and I have not seen a single hiccup. It's basically it's multicasting to multiple nodes at one time. So as soon as the writer gossips that new notification out, every node in the gossip channel sees it immediately. I mean, within a second. I'm watching three of them at the same time, and it's just instantaneous. Boom, boom, boom. And the more nodes for bootstrapping purposes, the more nodes you get, you know, the better. That's always the case with the DHT, because then you're more resilient to things going down and that kind of thing. Ultimately, what I would like for this setup to look like, once we get this finalized and get something that we're comfortable with, what I would like for this to look like is that the podping.cloud nodes will always be online on the DHT, and so those will be your bootstrap nodes. and then everything else will just launch off of that.
Mm.
So you'll connect to the DHT. You'll always have those five nodes as fallback bootstrappers. But at any time, there's going to be a lot of other nodes on online listening. So bootstrapping should not be a problem.
Okay. So how does this solve the big company not invented here, we don't trust it syndrome? Does it? Or do we make it, is it more complicated? Or is this built? I mean, I understand why you did it, but does it mm-hmm. really solve that part of the puzzle?
I don't think that we have to solve it in, I don't think we have to solve that in that way. And what I mean is, the thing about Podping is that it already has a whole bunch of hosting companies tied in sending notifications.
Yeah.
So the
no change for them really, right? There's no change. They just keep doing what they do.
Yeah, they have to change nothing. And you could go build your own system, but then you would have to convince all the hosting companies that are currently already sending Podbean now send to your new thing.
Right. And so well, that's what I under mean is, NDA, you know, I'm sure they'll all jump the minute Apple asks them to.
Well, maybe. Yeah. But I don't, what I would prefer is that the big platforms, you know, Apple and Spotify, whoever, that wants to hook into Podping, what I would prefer is that they actually get on board and help make the Podping system better.
Yeah.
Is that they contribute some dev time to it or whatever to make it more robust if they see a problem. Ideally, there wouldn't be a problem because it just works great.
Mm-hmm.
But if they see a problem and want to contribute dev time to it to fix and help the calls, that'd be great too. So, Eric, to answer Eric's question, he says, Dave, does it allow multiple nodes to write or only the podcast index nodes? So that is why it's not fully baked yet. So that is the next step is to take that authorization layer that's currently on the Podping.cloud side and the Hive side and extend that to the gossip side of things.
Mm.
So that's sort of step two of where we're headed with this thing. This is really just what this is a proof of concept to get in everybody's head what the goals are. I think a year from now, people who are still watching the Hive blockchain and doing Podping through that way, no difference. They're just going to keep things just keep on trucking like they always did. But then there's going to be this other way that you can do it. And then other background writers can also be developed. John Spurlock is working on some stuff around the AT proto protocol, which would provide some things like archiving. And that, again, is distributed and personally owned. So you can have a PDS. I don't know a ton about AT proto, but that's the protocol, distributed protocol behind Blue Sky. But it's an open protocol and that can be, we could plug in a writer for that where you could also have a different, you know, it could be archived out into a personal data store where you can have access like you do a blockchain. So I like the idea of taking in these notifications from the hosting companies and then just spraying them back out through as many channels as we can. And then you just pick the channel that works best for you. And that may be different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that are already fully integrated with the Hive side of things. And then that works. They'll just keep on trucking with that. There's other people that are coming up new and this DHT gossip topic way is easier for them to get started. And then there may, so I think the having a single front end and then multiple outputs on the back end, I think that is the right way to do this.
Mm.
So that's what this is. And I encourage everybody to go and build that gossip listener and just run it and just see what that, think about what just happened when you see these things popping, suddenly scrolling across your screen. All you did was download something and run it. And now you have every hosting company telling you
what's happening
themselves when their own feeds are having events. It's a direct connection. And yes, that's always the way Podping has worked. But the difference here is that this is not communicating with any, there's decentralized, and then there's distributed
space. Space.
So, you know, you can distribute something through just something as simple as load balancing. But to be truly decentralized means not having a sort of mothership or a concentration of motherships, servers somewhere that are kind of in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal here, truly decentralized. And to be truly decentralized is complicated. It is probably the most complicated thing to do in computer science and technology, is to be truly, really, genuinely decentralized. Because now you're not talking about getting updates. Now you're talking about staying in sync.
Right.
Multiple things, any kind of synchronization
is always tough. it's very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's hard, but that doesn't mean we don't need to do it, because we do.
We do hard things. That's what we do. What do?
Hard things.
Exactly.
We're going to do it. So this is step one. The other thing I'm toying around with in response to David Marzal's yeoman's effort to clean up.
Yeah, I saw that.
The Podcast Index GitHub repo.
Now, what exactly did he do?
He's going through and just going through all the issues and discussions in the podcast namespace, trying to get everything tagged and labeled so that we can go through and close old issues that are years old that haven't been messed with. And just, he's doing general spring cleaning work on the namespace repo.
Hmm.
So I gave him triage permission on that repo. And so he's been going after it. But another thing I did was created a GitHub to Mastodon bridge, so that when somebody posts, so when activity happens on one of the Podcast Index GitHub repos,
mm-hmm.
It cross posts over to Mastodon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Nice.
So it's just at GitHub at podcastindex.social.
Nice.
It's really for all of our sanity, so that we can not have to I have 6 email addresses that I have to keep up with already. I just cannot handle more email. And I live in the podcastindex.social all day, so I might as well just get...
Yeah, get your notifications there, of course.
Yeah, yeah. That way I don't have to bounce from different place to place.
Well, I'm excited about this. This is fun. I love Hashspace. I've always been enthralled by it. Torrents, IPFS is different. It's a different hash space. I looked it up.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But I love the whole concept. That to me has always been this magical layer on the internet that just does things. You know, Tor in general, it's just, I still run my Start 9. If I need something that I have a couple of things running, like my Vault Warden server, mm-hmm. right over Tor, I access Helipad over Tor. It's actually quite fast. It's not as slow as it used to be for some reason. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of issues with exit nodes and blockage and stuff, but still it's it is a phenomenally interesting thing. You know, forget about punching holes in your router or natting your firewall. Like, none of that. Just Tor. It just works.
And this is also the future. This will prove that the process of doing this to Podping will also prove out the next steps for decentralizing the index. You know, so if we get this working, that gives us a clear path towards the next steps of getting the index itself to be decentralized, because the steps will be very similar on that too. Because then now you're talking about a different, a different gossip channel, and now you're distributing, instead of pod pings, now you're distributing database updates.
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario.
I just wanted to talk about something that I heard on This Week in Bitcoin.
Okay.
I'm looking at you, Chris, chrislas.com. So he's been struggling, like many, with wallets and the shift from Keysend to LNURL. And I didn't clip it. I should have, because I don't want to misquote him. But what I heard him say was, well, the Podfather and the Podsage have decided it's just going to be centralized on Strike. And I'm like, no.
No, that's not true.
It's not true at all. And I know he's real busy, you know, so maybe that's just how he heard it. But we have advocated for, I think, probably 8 different ways of doing the metadata. And we've never advocated for anything. Building is the only thing that matters. You know, Oscar has built stuff, and, you know, people have or have not picked up on it. I mean, James Cridlin jumped in on creating Runway for Strike. But I just want to make it clear, we're not sitting here being the kings of all things and saying, well, this is what it's going to be. So wanted to clear that up. I love Chris. I love his show. I lost like 600,000 Bitcoin that I sent to him through LNURL, and I guess it never got there.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Yeah, that was a while back. You know, I connected Strike to my Podcast Guru wallet, and I guess he couldn't receive that. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying that, you know, that's not how it works here. The way things work here is we are just shooting the breeze. And if someone builds something, we look at that and we see how it works and we talk about it. And if people implement it, then groovy. But it's not like we're trying to promote one thing or the other, or now we're the centralization guys. It's like, no, that's not fair. It's not fair.
The Podcasting 2.0 group is just a collection of people who are doing things that interest them. That's really all it is. People find interest in. I see it a lot like the corporate layout of Valve software. You know, think they just whatever somebody's interested in, that's just what they do. And sometimes that means things unfortunately get dropped on the floor, and they don't get a lot of progress made on them because people lose interest. But that's just how it's just how it has to work. I mean, it's all volunteer, and you can only expect volunteers to work on the things that they're passionate about. And I mean, I've largely stepped back from the whole value tag, you know, Bitcoin thing, just because I don't know what the answers are.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather, at this point in the game, rather than having like arguments and getting upset at people, I would rather just watch people build things and just see what happens.
Yeah.
Whatever's going to happen, happens.
My point exactly. Looking at the clock, my brother, let's thank some people. We've covered a lot of ground here today.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Value for value is how the podcast index runs, which means you who are listening to this, who are participating in the board meeting, you can help us continue to keep the machines running. Dave and Adam take none of this. We're doing this as a public service, but we have a responsibility to keep all the machines humming along. And somehow Dave has devoted a large portion of his life to this. I just fly in from time to time and go, hey, this is good, buddy.
Somehow.
That's my job. somehow he's done that. So this comes in the form of fiat fund coupons. We do accept PayPal, which you can use with credit card and all kinds of different methods. By going to podcastindex.org, you scroll down at the bottom, big red donate button. That'll take you to that page. And of course, we accept boosts of all kinds. LNURL preferred currently. So here we go. Oh, wait, actually, I have some live boosts that I'll mention here.
Are you seeing the LNURL boosts on
probably
your side?
Not. I'm using Helipad, so that's probably only Keysend still.
Okay, you're not running Runway then?
I'm not running Runway live during the show. No. I should do that.
I need to set that up for next week.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I should probably do that as well. Okay. Hey, there we go. 12,345 sats from Dreb Scott. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We see what you did. And he sits in there and he says, go podcasting. Beautiful. Where is my go podcasting thing? Don't I have a go podcasting? Yeah, here it is.
Go podcasting!
Found it. 1701 from Martin Lindis Cog, Lyceum, coming in from True Fans. Apple could then do... Oh, wait a minute. I did this twice for some reason. Apple could do live radio shows with video, events, concerts, etc. Apple Podcaster app is not my go-to application for podcasts, but if Apple Music could be linked somehow with Podping, woo, it could be that. I will spend more time on my iPhone, Lost in Space, or The Wave of the Future, Starship Boost with 1701 Satoshis. Okay. Salty Crayon, a row of ducks, 2222. He says, don't copy that floppy. And
don't copy that floppy.
That's a classic. I got the row of ducks here. 2222 from Salty Crayon. Don't copy that floppy. Then, oh, I see. I see what's happening. Now I know. So we got 1111 from True Fans from Martin Lindis Cog. He says, I'm co-listening with Sam Sethi on True Fans. This is
that's snuggly.
Yeah, it's that's a True Fans feature. You can co-listen. Nice to hear you guys. James with disco music? What? Is that an AI mix? Yeah, definitely. And then I hit the delimiter, at least here, and I'll actually see if I can log into Runway.
That's a missed branding opportunity by Sam. He should just call it the True Fans Snuggle. where you're co-listening. Yeah, that's the way you do that.
Let me see. I've got boosts here. Let me just take a look. Boosts only.
And Eric PP says he's going to be supporting LNURL, that spec, in Helipad soon. So he said within the next week, probably.
Oh, good. Because I'm looking now and I don't see. I'm on Runway and okay. I'm getting the most recent ones. And I February 13th is the last payment I have. Let me see. Boosts. Salty Crayon. Yeah, that's from the last episode. So it did come through.
Pod Snuggle.
Pod Snuggle. I was looking for a title. There we go. Pod Snuggle. That's right. All right.
We got some we got PayPals, though. These are all mixed up. We got Jeremy Gerds, $5.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And we got Michael Hall. $5.50. New media. That's Todd and Rob. I'm forever going to say
you can't get away from it. It's always going to be Todd and Rob. Yeah.
Forever. $30. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Gene Liverman, $5. Thank you, Gene. Timothy Voice, $10. Oh, well, look at there. Look. You know what I just found? I found Buzzsprout for $1,000.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Keeping the index alive. I love you guys. I love all the hosting companies who support us so much. Every Satoshi, every dollar makes a difference. But these guys definitely step in big every time. We appreciate it.
Yep. Oystein Berra. Who's coming up next, I believe.
Yes.
$5.
Mutton, music, and mead.
Jorge Hernandez, $5. Thank you, Jorge. Michael Goggin, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. Johns Creek Studios, LLC, $5. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Chris Bernardick, $5. Dreb Scott, $15.
Thank you,
Drip. Appreciate you. Who is this? Oh, this is a one-off. Michael. No note. Michael Good. $25. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. No note from Michael. And that's it on that. We got some boosts on my side. We got. We got some test boosts.
Who sent them? Who sent the test boosts?
Dreb Scott sent 10,000 sats. He says, Boosty McTest Boost. We got.
That deserves one of these testing move.
Boost.
All right.
We got the Ugly Quacking Duck. That's Bruce. 2222 through Podcast Guru. He says, enjoyed the episode. Fun conversations on this episode. 73s.
All right. Thank you very much.
We got 3333 from Hey Citizen.
Hey.
Through Castomatic.
Where's my Hey Citizen? Says,
just listening to Adam praise Linux audio and tiling window managers has filled me with hope and validation.
Hey Citizen.
You guys don't know what it's like to wake up from the recurring dream of showing off my Arch Linux audio setup only to realize it was all a dream.
Right, let me tell you, I've been using it now for how many weeks? I've done four no agendas with it. The thing is, it is solid. I mean, I am loving it.
You've done four no agendas and three of them got fully recorded. So you're hitting 75%.
Three and a half. Yeah, it's... But in general, I've never used workspaces. Mm-hmm. I use them all the time now. And I don't know what it is about Omarchi and the Hyperland tiling manager. I'm not sure what it is, but it's so easy to just, I've got one workspace with, like Signal and my messages. I've got one workspace, which is just email and a browser. I've got the podcast workspace, which is, all the stuff I have for the podcast. I'm like, I sit down. What are you laughing about? What?
Hey, Citizen in the boardroom said, I'd just like to interject for a moment. What you're referring to as Linux is actually GNU Linux.
Oh, yeah. Linux GNU. GNU Linux.
GNU.
GNU Linux.
There's always one of those guys.
No, there's more than one of those guys. Yes. It's GNU Linux. It's GNU Arch Linux. Gal, GNU Arch Linux.
Yeah.
Yes. There's something about it. The workflow is really enjoyable, and there is not a single thing I haven't been able to do that I could do on Windows, including Zoom. The Zoom client is fine. It works perfect. It's never, in fact, I've had more problems with my Windows Zoom client than I've had zero with the GNU Linux. It's like, I got to do something, new project, just pop open a new workspace and do it there and go back. I mean, it's changed the way I think about it. And dare I say, I find working on my GNU Linux rather exciting.
You're getting fulfillment from your computing experience for once in a long time.
It's kind of back to the Sinclair ZX80 days. Yeah, I'm fulfilled. It's like, this is exciting. Look at how this works. And, you need something, and you don't have to go to the Windows Store to get free trials and everything as a subscription. No, there's just some dude or dudette was built something like, this is great. I'm a tipper. I'm a value for value guy. I'm like, you give me some software that I use, I am going to send you money.
It's like pounding out some peaks and pokes on your Commodore 64.
That was so beautiful. You could you could peek and you could suck down an entire cartridge with that system.
Oh yeah, peek and poke. You're peak just like directly manipulating
right into the processor.
In the memory. Yeah.
Put a pixel right here. Peek. Poke.
Flat memory model for the win.
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
Hey, Citizens, he finished up. He said, Linux audio people, check out Ray Session.
Excuse me. You mean GNU Linux audio people.
GNU Linux audio people.
Check out Session.
Check out Ray Session. R-A-Y Session. S-E-S-S-I-O-N. It lets you manage and save entire audio workflows and routing.
Oh.
Okay. There you go. There's more to play with.
Session manager for GNU Linux musical programs. Okay. Nice. All right.
Yeah. Who we got? Who is this? Oh, Comic Strip Bloggers. The limiter. 23,000 sats.
There we go.
Through Fountain, he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Yes. AI causes mass layoffs, increase in electricity prices, economic inequality, and circle jerk finance bubble. But that's all politics that's covered on No Agenda Podcast by Adam Curry and his half-Polak, half-Czech, full-Slavic co-host Dvorak. But to learn how to wield AI tools better, no politics, search AI Arch Wizard on YouTube and subscribe. Yo, CSB.
Yeah, he's invited me to come on and show him my vibe coding.
You're doing it, right?
Of course. Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. Of course.
It'll be super fun. I mean, people will go, what is he doing?
That's exactly.
How is, what?
please tell me that Comic Strip Bloggers going to have the voice changer on there. So no,
he's going to have the voice changer on. I've met him.
As long as he doesn't sound like the chick from the Power.
No. I mean, I don't know why he does that. I mean, he has a very distinctive voice. You recognize it out of thousands. So maybe that's why.
I love CSB's voice.
Me too. I think he has a great voice. I don't understand why he wants to change that.
He's got the I imagine listening to radio in Poland and it would be him. It would be CSB.
Hey, it is GNU Linux here. Welcome to Radio Poland.
Radio Poland.
All right, brother. Great catching up with you. It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Boardroom, for being here with us. We will be back next Friday, and we look forward to doing another round of the Podcasting 2.0 board meeting. Have a great weekend.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
A weed is just a plant that's in a place you don't want it.